You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
I know you're sick of your team running amok, making you feel like you're a prisoner in your own business. You just get things sorted and under control, and the next thing, there's a baby due. Or she's giving up her trade, or she's off on her big OE just right after she qualifies. This episode is all about how to build a brand that is stronger than the team you employ. We can find ourselves so focused on the team that we forget to build the brand and the culture inside our salon, leaving the team to dictate who and where and when things get done. I don't think they actually think or they realise how much their little life tantrums can affect us as owner or even the future of the business. And I've been there, believe me. You know, they don't turn up on time because, you know, it's not preschool. You want to build them, but then you don't want to build them because you're scared if you build them that they'll leave. You know, it's the current rumour that's circulating the back room right now. And then if you don't build them up, they'll be bored. They'll not earn enough money, so they're going to leave anyway. There's no win, right? You know, your team, they come, they go, they have babies 5 minutes after you spend years training them to take over your clients. You know, you were finally going to have that day off once a week. And then, of course, they take their clients and your clients too. So I kind of get this dilemma of wanting to build them up, not wanting to build them up just so they can leave. And sometimes you just dream of maybe it's easier just to do it myself. So what's the solution? Because most likely you didn't go into business just to run a one-man band. I mean, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that if that's your true preference, but it's not usually the reason you get into business. The answer, of course, is to build a culture and a brand experience that is stronger than any one individual that is inside your business. Creating a culture that encompasses your team and each individual with a strong emphasis on the brand, more of a team plus salon rather than a team versus salon, which it can often feel like, right? So let me tell you about my journey and how I overcame this feeling of helplessness around the constant struggle of team. Over time, I implemented my own solution and it built and shaped the business that I grew. So I had this beautiful, young, talented stylist. She was artistic. She was creative. She did beautiful, amazing work in the salon and creatively. But, you know, on a bad day, that bad day sometimes turned into a bad month. And I have to say it was usually based around the breakup of a boyfriend. And it meant, actually, as a result, her sales dropped dramatically. She didn't rebook because she couldn't be bothered. She didn't upsell anymore. She drooped around the salon, bringing the rest of her peers along with her stroppy ride. She wasn't outwardly stroppy, but she wasn't engaged. We lost her. And it was crap for a few weeks until either she made up with the boyfriend or maybe found a new one. And just when we thought she was going really, really well and she was finally hitting her next level of sales targets and it was starting to hum along really smoothly, it all slumped. And usually for outside influences like boyfriends. Do you know, we'd also have the just got qualified and now I'm pregnant and going to have a baby, or I've just built my clientele and now I'm heading overseas. So you can imagine with a team of 30 women no less, there was always somebody coming and going at all times. So how can I build a team that can sustain clients for the long term and overcome all these ins and outs of the of a dynamically moving team? I learned not to rely solely on my team because that is where the mistake is too often made. I realised that, you know, I'm responsible to build the brand and the business, not the employee. Oh yes, well, the employee is part of the brand for sure, but not more than the brand. And I learned not to rely on them to do, say, the upselling of services and to grow their average dollar sale. Train them on how to do that, yes, for sure, but it's not where it ends. That's just one strategy. I learned not to rely on them to build my brand. Share social content from my brand, yes, but not to represent the brand instead of my brand. They were not the face of my brand. To attract clients, sure, referrals when they do a great job, but it was not their job to attract new clients to the salon. That's my job as the salon owner. Your job as an employer and an owner is to attract the clients, get them in the chair, and then to help them develop those clients into long-term clients and retain them for the brand. I learned not to rely on them to keep clients. Yes, absolutely sure. They should retain them when they should rebook and they should deliver great service, but the brand has to be stronger than each individual's skills at delivering consistency and consistently great service. So, I learned I needed to create a culture that is stronger than the individuals within my team, a brand that stands separate to the people inside it. The people make it, yes, but they do not define it. And herein lies the challenge. You can stop being held hostage to your team. Okay, so here are my three actionable steps to fix this challenge and build your brand stronger than your team. So my number one tip is to create the consistent client experience. Now, it doesn't matter who looks after you. It's the same experience. To build a brand, you have to create consistency in that experience despite who looks after the client in the salon. So the best way to do this is through thinking about the touch points in your service delivery. So the goal here is that no matter who looks after the client, the experience is the same, and that the client can identify that they are experiencing the brand. They're not only experiencing the staff member. Now, the staff member has an edge already. They're spending 2 hours, you know, 1 or 2 hours in an intimate space with this client. They're already building a trust relationship with that client. But the brand has to do that as well. So how can we do that? So the coffee and maybe the biscuit inside on the cup needs to be delivered the same every single time. How you put on the cape and whether or not you put a towel on before or after the consultation or before or after they go to the basin needs to be exactly the same every single time. If you take your client's coat off for them, how do you hand it back to them? Do you just hand it to them with two pinched fingers, or do you hold it out for them and hold on for the client as they put their arms through? Doesn't matter, there's no right or wrong answer to how you put somebody's coat on, but whatever you choose to do, it needs to be the same. And it doesn't matter if the stylist or the front of house or if the apprentice does it for that one client, they have the same experience every single time. Maybe there's a journey inside the salon of the client journey. Now, I'll tell you what I mean because we built this in our third salon. We built the journey into our premise. And so when you arrived at the front desk, you were greeted. And if possible, someone would come outside of the desk, come out from behind and greet them face-to-face, body-to-body, not having this big desk in front of them. Now, we didn't have a waiting area. We chose not to do that because we decided the minute that somebody arrived and to have their hair or their beauty service done, and they were sat in the waiting area, immediately they're waiting. And already they feel like they're waiting and we're keeping them waiting and now they're going to be late. And we know that's a pain point for clients. So we took them straight through to the consultation and colour area and they were sat there. Even if they had to wait there a little bit, as it happens sometimes, they felt like they were in the salon and they were part of it and they were getting started. A support member or an apprentice or somebody would come and put their cape on, get them coffee and give them their menu and magazines, etc. And that was consistent every single time. We practiced it at our staff meeting. And after they'd been at the colour area or the consultation area, then they would walk almost in a circular manner around the salon. So they would go from there to the basin and the massage was exactly the same. How that shampoo was put on was exactly the same. Was there a towel over the top of them? Yes or no, it was exactly the same. Doesn't matter who was doing it. The newest apprentice didn't matter. And then they continued around the circle into the styling area where the cutting and the blow drying happened, and then they continued around, back around in a full circle to the reception area, past the home hair care, of course. Now, you might not be renovating and being able to create an experience that's exactly like that, but it doesn't matter. Whatever the journey is inside the salon, if you want to build a brand that's stronger than your team, you need to make it consistent. And it's the same every time that a client comes. Consistency builds trust. The way you answer the phone, doesn't matter who answers, it needs to be the same. The script needs to be the same. And the language maybe of your key service, whether that's a colour or a facial or whatever it is that you're doing, name your services and make sure everybody's using that language within your brand. And use that language to talk internally. And if you're passing your services off to another team member, then speak about your named services and use the same language. And if you're a stylist, you're talking about weaves, name those weaves and tell them exactly. It builds trust with the clients, but there becomes an internal language that becomes your brand language. And it's stronger than the individual. Make sure there are relationships with more than one employee or one stylist. There's real value in having touch points from other people in the business. So the relationship is not just one-on-one with that individual beauty therapist or stylist. So make sure there's a touch point from front of house or an apprentice or the person that's getting the coffee or the colorist or somebody else that's taking them through. Make sure those people are building relationships also, even if they're only support staff. Now, I have to tell you a story about one of my bestest friends in the world. She worked with me for 15, 16 years, I think. Now, when she was relatively new to working with me, she used to introduce me to all of her clients. Now, at the time, I was younger and I thought it was a bit weird. And to be quite honest, I was one of those owners that would actually prefer to be a little bit back. I didn't want to be in the limelight. I was quite happy just doing my clients and for people not to know who I was and to push other people forward into the limelight. I didn't want to be on stage, or I didn't think that I had to be. Anyway, she would always bring me over and introduce me to her clients. At the beginning, I felt really awkward. It's like, well, what do you say? You know, I'm not doing your hair. Hi, nice to meet you. But I realized as she persisted, bless her, that there was a role for me to play as the business owner, even when I was not doing clients. People want to know who is the face of this business, who is driving this business, and they want to have that connection. Now, what that did is that built a stronger relationship with not only with her for being kind and introducing, but it built a relationship for that client with me and the brand. Now, she didn't leave, but, you know, in a circumstance where another stylist leaves, now there's multiple relationships going on in the business. It's not just with that one stylist or one beauty therapist. And as a business owner, we have a responsibility to be the face of our brand, even if we're not hands-on here or hands-on on clients ourselves. There's some confidence building done when people, you know, people follow brands, but they do business with people. And that's why when stylists or beauty therapists leave, their clients follow them, because they haven't been an established relationship with the brand. Now, the boring name for this is systems. You're building business systems, customer care systems, customer experience systems. And so I encourage you, as boring as it sounds, document them and make them part of your induction process for new staff members. Train it at your staff meetings on a regular basis. Recap the things that are important, like coming out from behind reception, having these relationships, introducing the owner, and make them part of your "this is how we do it here" documentation. The strongest brands around the world use systems to run their businesses, and then they employ smart people to run those systems. All right, for my tip number two, visibility. If you want to build a brand, then you need to be visible. You can't sell a secret, and you need to get over the fear of being visible and get yourself out there. I'm a huge fan of profiling your team and letting people peek inside your business, and it's a window inside your business to see who's in there. You know, and as I mentioned before, our clients have to spend 1 or 2 hours with your staff. They want to know who they are. They want to get to know them. And they will stalk them, and they want that connection before they make a decision to do business with you and before they make a booking. So don't make it hard for them. Don't make it hard for them to stalk you, because you know they're going to. And that's going to help them make a decision whether or not your business is a good fit for them. So be visible. Now, many salon owners say to me, but I don't want to profile some of my staff because if I build them up, you know, they'll leave and then the clients will follow them. But I say, what if you don't build them and they just sit there costing you and they leave because they're bored of folding foils all day and answering the telephone? They weren't there to be a support person. They were there to build clients. So the best thing that you can do for your brand is to start storytelling and share the lives and the profiles of your team, including yourself. Don't be shy. Profile a person every single week. Build the know, like, and trust factor. People do business with people that they know, like, and trust. That makes sense, right? If they don't know who you are, they can't find you. If they don't like you, they're not going to come and visit you. And if they don't trust you, they certainly won't let you near their skin or their hair. Remember to profile yourself as well as the business owner. You don't have to promote that you're available for appointments if that's not the future of your business, but that's fine. People want to see who is the owner. So if you've got enough good quality posts spread out across your social media channels, images, and on your website, then you should feel comfortable adding your team as well. It's not that it's only about your team. Let people know your area of expertise, what makes you stand out from other salons. You know, social media is noisy. There's lots going on. What makes you different? Why should they choose you over anybody else in your area? What do you excel at? And so my question to you is, are you storytelling about that topic, the thing that you're good at and that you want to specialize in? Do you have an area of expertise? And if you don't, get one. And if you don't know what it is, it's easy to decide. It doesn't have to stay with you for life, but decide on something that's going to be your focus point and that you're going to stand out of the crowd for. So the best way to decide if you want to do that is to have a staff meeting and discuss it. Discuss it with your team. And each team member needs to have their own area of expertise, but also so does your salon, an overriding thing that makes you who you are and what you do differently. So over the years, we had a few different areas of expertise, which really was our focus point, our marketing focus point. We started out with being wedding specialists. And really that was born not because I loved doing long hair. In fact, I was petrified about doing it. But I saw a gap in the market. No one was doing it really well in my local area. So we created packages and programs for brides. We attended wedding shows and we promoted the hell out of it. And, you know, as I said, I hated doing the hair, but I learned. I made it a focus point to learn, and we practiced as a team. I took the mannequin home and practiced myself, and we got good at it. And I have to say, it really put us on the map as a brand. And at one point, we got so full on a Saturday doing brides that it really started to affect our regular clients. So we had to pull back a little bit, and we pulled back on the marketing. And instead, we focused on becoming colour specialists. Now, it doesn't sound like anything too special, because everybody does colour if you're a hair salon, but I beg to differ. We upgraded our colour products, and we took on the latest ammonia-free, which was emerging at the time. It's a bit more commonplace now, but that was something new to the market. We upped our skills and our techniques, and we started to create seasonal colour collections. We named our techniques, and we created promotions and packages around them, all with the theme of colour. And we did that seasonally. And we grew our colour percentage off the chart. And it changed our business quite dynamically. So I've seen a few salons, and a few salons that I work with have had some great focal points: sustainability, having a focus on organics, a young generation, you know, new Gen Y themed business. Anything that helps you stand out or that you have a story to tell. Blonde specialists. I also think that each individual needs to have an area of expertise, and it just makes that experience more complete for your clients. And when the client rings up and says, you know, this is the problem I have, my hair is like this, you can confidently say, we have someone in our business that specializes in doing just that. Show them that they can trust your brand and the people that's inside it. And validate the skills that they do by showing them publicly. Social media is fantastic for this. Should make the most of it. So let them get to know you and know your area of expertise. Let them get to like you and your team, profile the people. People want to come to people that they know, like, and trust. Let them trust you by validating your skills and show them what you can do, your technical skills. Happy, smiling clients having exactly what you offer. A curator is somebody who goes out into the world and finds the latest, most beautiful artwork and brings it back to their museum or to their art studio and shows the world what's going on out there in the world for people to see when they come to that museum or to come to that art studio. And so I think you need to do the same. You need to go out into the world and find other content and share it. Show people that you know what's going on in the world of fashion or sustainability or whatever it is that is, you know, if you focus on what the celebrities are doing and you're pumping out celebrity looks from your salon, then you need to be talking about celebrities a lot and sharing what's going on. But the same goes if you are focused on sustainability or organics. You need to show that you know you've got your finger on the pulse. It validates what you're doing. So share other content that is interesting to your clients in your area of expertise. Now, another great one that gets good engagement is quotes. Now, quotes and inspiration, I'll say. And the reason I say that is it works because it increases your engagement. And engagement means that more people see your brand, and more people see your brand makes you more visible. And that means more people know about you and now have you as part of their selection choice when they're looking for a new service provider. So if one of my staff members drops off, then people hardly notice. It's something that you can take care of internally with the clients that have been visiting that stylist or that beauty therapist, rather than feeling like the focus has been solely around that person and now if they disappear, it's going to be really notable. I just don't think that that's the way that it is. So this is a good segue to the topic of communication with your clients. How often does your brand communicate with your clients? And if you want more info and support around getting visible, then I suggest that you join me on the Turn Likes into Real Bookings course that I run. Now, this is a course that we tackle this topic in depth, getting visible, building a following, and turning those likes into actual bookings. How do you actually get them off your social media site and into your chair to have their hair or beauty service done? So if you go to www.salonownerscollective, there is a link on there that you can find more information about the course, and it's open for enrollment now. Okay, so my number three tip was that a brand needs to communicate more than the stylist does. It's about communication. They have 1 or 2 hours every 6 weeks with this client. They're building a relationship with this client. What's the brand doing? What's the salon doing to build that relationship with that client? You need to stay in touch with that client and be top of mind for that client, the business, the brand, not just the employee. So, you know, what I hear a lot now is that clients are messaging stylists and team members directly via Messenger to make their appointments. And I think you need to grab back their attention and remind them that, yes, they might be visiting that stylist, but they're actually visiting your brand, not just the stylist. So how can you stay top of mind for your client and build your brand in the mind of your client that's stronger than that employee? Okay, so here are a few tips. I would suggest that you get into emailing a newsletter on a regular basis. I hate the word newsletter, but, you know, some news. Stay in touch. Make sure that you stay top of mind and get in front of them. Once a month is fine. You can talk about what's going on in the business. You can talk about what's going on in your area of expertise, whether it's fashion, sustainability, whatever it is that your clients are interested in knowing about. Make sure it's not just a promotional email. Yes, promote what's going on and tell clients what's available, what services are available, but it's not a promotional blast. It's a relationship building blast. Okay. So stay in touch. An email newsletter is fantastic for doing exactly that. So another way is, you know that your clients are on Facebook. Half the world is on Facebook. So get in front of your clients on Facebook. Now, of course, I know that you're probably posting, and we've talked about the kinds of things that you can do to stay visible, but what about actually promoting ads directly to your existing clients? Reminding them who you are, showing them what you do, promoting your great services and your area of expertise, cross-selling. So, you know, all your clients that have colour, maybe they don't have a treatment, promote that on Facebook to your client list. It's amazing what Facebook can do. And the other thing is that your organic reach when you're posting on your Facebook page is really low. You can expect that about 10% of your followers will see any given post on any given day. That's not a lot. So why not get behind into the advertising space? Yes, it costs you a little bit, but not very much, to be quite honest, compared to traditional methods. And push out your content to your actual client list, not just your followers. Because sometimes that's just your mum and your employee's mum and brother and sister, and you don't know who that is. And so another one I'm super excited about is now that you can broadcast, or you can speak to your clients through Facebook Messenger. It's super exciting and something that I'm starting to pull something together for you. But it's super powerful. We're in an era and an age of instant messaging. And your brand has the ability to communicate with your clients via Messenger. So anyway, watch the space. Okay, we can offer other services to our existing clients. It's one way to grow your business is to sell the same clients more stuff. But again, you have to communicate with them. And, you know, like my beautiful stylist, you know, when she had a crap day, she didn't talk about anything that was going on in the salon, certainly not other services. So we did things like put mirror talkers. They were stickers or a little stand that was on each of the mirror bays. And it will tell the client, we change them every month, we would tell the client what other services were available in the salon. We had a drinks menu that on the other side promoted the services that we had. Behind reception, we had a banner. We trained our front of house to upsell and to talk and to rebook. And we trained our support team at the basin. And if they were seeing clients out or answering the phone, we taught them how to sell. It's just not up to the one employee. How often are you having meetings before clients arrive in the morning to talk and plan out your day? Are you having one-on-ones with your staff to build them that way? But when you can't rely on them, what else is the business doing to speak and promote what's going on in your business? Now, another great way, of course, is loyalty programs, because the loyalty sits then with the client. With the client in the business, not with the staff member. Okay, so I just want to say, while I'm an advocate for building a brand that is stronger than each staff member, I'm also an advocate for creating an all-encompassing culture, encompassing each individual as part of the brand and the team. So don't get me wrong there. I believe you can create a culture of a brand, a personal brand, i.e. the employee plus the salon brand, and work harmoniously together. It doesn't have to be the staff member, i.e. personal brand, versus the salon brand. I would love to see this tension come away. And this is a culture that we have. If we can grow, then we both win. So one thing is for sure, you have to build a business. And, you know, I know that often people get overwhelmed with all the things that they could and they should and they would do. But one of the things that often holds you back is that you potentially are servicing clients yourself. You need to get out from behind the chair. Because if you don't have time and you're servicing clients all day long, who's going to run your team and to build your brand and grow the culture? One thing is for sure, you have to build your business, and that takes time. I encourage you to get out from behind the chair. If you don't have time, you know, you don't have time to be servicing clients all day. You have a team that needs attention. You have a brand to build. You have a culture to grow and to market. Anyway, if you need some help, I encourage you to come and find me at the Salon Owners Collective Mastermind. where I help people grow beyond owner-operator. This is what I'm passionate about, helping you get out from behind the chair. Because every time I stopped doing hair for one day of the week, my business grew. Every day, every time I dropped a day, my revenue exploded because I had the time to focus on growing my business. So if you want to know more, we're enrolling at the moment. This is exactly what I can help you do. Come and see me at www.salonownerscollective.com. And thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to hearing from you, and tell me, what are you going to put into place as a result of building your brand stronger than the team you employ?
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.